Thank you, Roy Marcus. It's inspiring to be here this morning on January 1st, seeing all the people who could have slept really late coming here to learn Torah, and I'm excited to share a piece of Torah which to me is one of my favorite pieces of Torah, something that I've been developing for a few years, and every year I add a little bit more. So I'm happy to be able to share it with you. When the parshios of Shmos and Va'era and Bo come around, it's exciting because you get to speak about it at any time of the year. You can speak about it now, you could speak about it at Pesach time. So I wanted to start with the night of the Seder. The night of the Seder, there's a minhag all over the world, maybe in your homes, maybe not, but the children sing a song. They sing a song, Paro in his pajamas. Familiar with the song, Paro in his pajamas? Do I have to sing it? Paro in pajamas in the middle of the night, Paro in pajamas. So in different countries, they sing this song in all different languages about Paro in his pajamas in the middle of the night. Paro in his pajamas. So what's the meaning of the song? Why are the children singing about Paro when he was running around in his pajamas in the middle of the night? I heard a beautiful idea once from a Magid Shir in the Mir Yerushalayim from Nissen Kaplan. He said, first of all, how do we know that Paro was running around in his pajamas in the middle of the night? It's in your sources. It's a Beferish Rashi in source number one. It says that on the night of Makas Bechoros, HaKadosh Baruch Hu struck at Chatzos, he struck at midnight, and Vayakom, this might have gotten messed up, the Mar Makomos I'm looking at, Vayakom Paro Laila, Paro got up in the middle of the night. Rashi says, Vayakom Paro Mimitaso. What does it mean that Paro got up? It means he got up from his bed. Got up from his bed. If he got up from his bed, so what was he doing, obviously? He was in his pajamas and he was running around. So Mrs. Kaplan asked, what's the idea that Paro was running around in his pajamas and all the children were making fun of him as he was running and looking for Moshe? And they were saying, oh no, he's over there, he's over there. Paro was running around trying to find Moshe and he was in his pajamas. So Mrs. Kaplan explained what happened over here. Think about it. Paro had intelligence, very good intelligence, that at exactly 12 o'clock, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to strike. Imagine that the President of the United States gets really good intelligence that Korea is going to strike at exactly 12 o'clock. There's going to be a missile attack. And imagine that the intelligence that you've gotten has been correct the last 9 times. Exactly, precisely. So you might believe the intelligence, you might not, you might think that maybe there's a doubt as to whether it's actually going to happen. But one thing, if you're a responsible leader, I know you're not going to do, you're not putting on your pajamas, and you're not going to sleep. The Pasuk tells us that Paro, after 9 makos, that were dead on, Dam, Svardeya, Kinim, Arov, Daver, Shchin, and Paro is told, at 12 o'clock tonight, everyone's going to die. And Paro puts on his pajamas and he goes to sleep. How does he do that? How do you fall asleep? How did you put on your pajamas in the first place? And how did you fall asleep? The Pasuk tells us that that's exactly what Paro did. And you see from here, Paro's inexplicable. I want to try to understand this morning, how did Paro become like this? How do you develop a character where Paro has the ability to be so arrogant, so evil, that on the night of Makas Bechoros he can go to sleep? We see several examples of this. You look through the stories of Paro, time and time again, we see this character trait of Paro, of how obstinate he is, how arrogant, how much he's willing to go to evil to the nth degree. Let's look at another example. Number two, the Pasuk says that Moshe is told, Lechel Paro baboker v'hineh yotzeh ha-maima. Go meet Paro on the water. What was Paro doing in the water in the morning time? So Rashi tells us, Hineh yotzeh ha-maima l'nikavav. He went to the bathroom in the morning time. Why did he have to go to the bathroom? He probably had very nice bathrooms in his palace. Shaya osa atzma aloha. Paro made himself out to be a god. Ve'omer she'eno tzarech l'nikavav. So if you're a good god, and you tell everybody you're God, so good gods don't have to go to the bathroom, obviously. So if people would see Paro going to the bathroom, so they would realize he's not a god. So what did Paro have to do? Paro had to wake up early every single morning before anybody was up. So he would wake up at the crack of dawn, perhaps beforehand, And he would have to go to the Nile River to go to the bathroom, so that nobody would know that he's not a god and that he actually uses the bathroom. Now, I hate to be graphic over here, but just think about this. Think about the Mesiris Nefesh that Paro had here to be evil. I was kind of wondering, the people last night who stood in below zero weather in Times Square, I don't understand why people would do that. But then I heard on the news that there aren't even public bathrooms. Okay, so you're standing outside, you can't use a bathroom. But now Paro is doing this every single day. Imagine not sleeping, not having gone to the bathroom for 24 hours, being up the entire night, and waiting all night, tossing and turning, just to wake up at the crack of dawn every single morning to go to the bathroom, just to prove that you're a god. The Mesiris Nefesh to be evil here is remarkable. Paro goes to the nth degree to be arrogant. The Mesiris Nefesh for arrogance is amazing. Where did it come from? Another example. The Medrash comments on two psukim. The pasuk in this week's parsha says, Asher lo yada es Yosef. Right, that Paro, a new king, came about and he didn't know Yosef. So the Medrash is troubled a little bit. What do you mean you don't know Yosef? How did you forget about the good that Yosef did? The Medrash says, Asher lo yada es Yosef, v'chi lo yamakir es Yosef. He didn't recognize who Yosef was. L'kach kasav alav amikra klomar ayom asher lo yada es Yosef, l'machar hu asid lomar lo yadati es Hashem. The Medrash has a play on two psukim. It says, yada, yada. Asher lo yada es Yosef, the same Paro who didn't know Yosef, who didn't recognize Yosef and the good that he did, eventually such a person is going to come to be the same person who says, lo yadati es Hashem. Paro said, I don't recognize this God. Who is this God that you're talking about? Again, we see that Paro has this ability to just ignore complete goodness that Yosef did, ignore completely what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. How do you develop such a character? We see that Paro is very nitpicky when it comes to the Makos. If you study the Makos, they're remarkable. And you have to wonder, how do you ignore Dam? How do you ignore Tzvardeya, Kinim, Aro? Time and time again, how do you ignore them? Now you'll tell me, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardened Paro's heart. What do you mean? Rashi says it's not that way. If you look at Rashi number 6, skip a little bit and we'll come back. Rashi number 6, Vani Aksha Me'achar Shehershia V'hitches Kenegdi V'afal Pichein. B'chamesh Makos HaRishonos Lo Ne'emar V'yechazek Hashem Eslev Paro. If you look carefully, start looking at all the parshios coming up. Each time it says that Paro's heart was hardened. The first five Makos, Paro hardens his own heart. Only after the fifth Maka does HaKadosh Baruch Hu start to harden Paro's heart. So think about it. Paro has the ability to ignore Dam. He has the ability to ignore Tzvardeya. Kinim are all over the land. Lice is all over the place. Arov, wild animals, come all over the place. And Paro just keeps ignoring it. And he keeps ignoring it. He sees miracle after miracle, and he ignores it. And he doesn't just ignore the miracles. He's nitpicky when it comes to the miracles. If you look at number 4. Vayomer Moshe ko amar Hashem kachatzos halayla. Hashem says that, sorry, Moshe says, that I am going to bring Makas Bechoros at around midnight. At around midnight. Now, we know that Hashem said that Makas Bechoros is going to happen at midnight. So why did Moshe have to say it's going to happen at Kachatzos, around midnight? At 11:59, at 12:01. So, Rashi says, because the people are going to have their clocks wrong, and they're going to look at the clock, and at exactly 12:01, all the Bechoros are going to die. Now, and they're going to say, you see, Moshe, the whole thing is made up. I don't understand. He predicted that every single Bechor in Mitzrayim is going to die. And they're waiting, and they're waiting, and they're looking at their clocks. 12 o'clock didn't happen. And then at 12:01, they all die. And they say, see, we're right. Now, how did all the Bechoros die? It's like, you know, they said that the eclipse is going to happen at exactly, you know, this time. Right, we're all waiting for the eclipse to happen, and our clocks, we're looking at the clocks, whereas the eclipse, it took me a while to figure out what it was, and then the eclipse comes, and so my watch is off by half a second. We're like, the scientists, they don't know what they're talking about, because half a minute, and then how do they predict the whole thing is going to happen? It's remarkable. So there's an amazing miracle here. So your watches were off by half a minute, or it looked a tiny bit off, and you're going to tell me that there's no miracle? How do you deny such a thing? The Malbim has a very interesting comment. He says on the pasuk number 5, "Vayet Moshe es Mateu al Shemayim, v'Hashem nasan kol osu barad." Hashem placed the barad on the ground. So the barad, the hail, comes down, what does it mean he places the hail on the ground? So the Malbim, we won't read it inside for the sake of time, but the Malbim describes how when hail comes down from the sky, so it takes a few seconds for the hail to go from the sky down to the floor. But so the Mitzrim were going to, or Paro was going to set a certain time. He wrote a thing on the wall, and he said, when the sun hits here, that's when the barad is going to happen. So there would be lightning, and there would be thunder at a certain point in the sky, and then it would take a few seconds for the barad to fall down, and they would say, ah, you see, the barad is a few seconds off. So that's where the Malbim says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu nasan kolosu barad, that the kolos and the barad came exactly at the same time, and the barad skipped those 10 seconds, and the barad went directly to the ground. Because they were concerned that, again, the Paro was going to be nitpicky with the Makos, and they were going to say, ah, yeah, it happened to be the biggest hailstorm ever, and there was fire in the middle of the hail, but it was 10 seconds off, so we don't really believe any of this. You see time and time again that Paro is arrogant. He denies the obvious. He denies clear miracles. He has mesiris nefesh for this arrogance. And it always bothered me, how did you become a Paro? Where does Paro come from? How do you get that evil? How do you ignore the Ribono Shel Olam when he's so obvious, when he's so clear? Where does that come from? So I think that Paro got it from his Rebbe. Who's his Rebbe? Who's Paro's Rebbe? So I'd like to suggest that Paro had a Rebbe. His Rebbe was Bilam. His Rebbe was Bilam. How do I know that his Rebbe was Bilam? It's a medrash. And as I started thinking about it, I found a lot more evidence beyond this medrash of Bilam's involvement with Paro. If you look at number 7, the famous story, Shlosha Hayu Ba'osa Eitza. There are 3 people at the famous meeting where they had to come up with a plan. What are we going to do with the Jews? Paro is there. He calls in his advisors. Bilam, the Eo, the Yitzro. Bilam, Shiyat, Shiyahargu, Es Yisrael, Ne'arag. Bilam gave the advice to kill all the Jews. Bilam was killed. Eo, Sheshasak, Nidon, Be'isurim. Eo was quiet. Eo didn't say anything. It's more to talk about Eo another time. And he was quiet. He suffers. Yisro, Shabarach, but Yisro ran away. So Zachu Banav Leshev Lishkas Hagazis. So Yisro had tremendous reward. He's rewarded with Moshe's son-in-law. Yisro ran away from that meeting. But you see that the advice that Paro got to do what he did to the Jews came from Bilam. Okay. So Bilam gave the advice. So we see a little bit of influence that Bilam has on Paro. Bilam's a member of his cabinet. Bilam is an advisor. Why do I care so much? How do I know that makes him Paro's Rebbe? So I want to think a little bit about who Bilam is. Let's think for a moment who Bilam is. Bilam was a person who spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bilam was a Navi. He was a Navi for the Umas HaOlam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Umas HaOlam a Navi, otherwise they would complain, it would be unfair, we never had a Navi. So Bilam spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A Navi sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu very clearly. And Bilam still, at the same time, had the ability to be evil. He spoke with the Ribono Shel Olam, and he's evil at the same time. He had this relationship with Hashem, a very clear one, clearer than anyone. And yet he has the ability to ignore. I want to show you 2 Gemaras where I think this highlights Bilam's ability to ignore the obvious. If you look at the Gemara in Zvachim, on Daf Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, "Kishenitna Torah liYisrael hayakola holach misofa olam ve'ad sofo." When the Torah was given at Har Sinai, so the world was trembling. The voice, the sound of Kabbalah's Torah was heard all over the world. All of the kings of the non-Jews were shaking, trembling, v'heichalein in their palaces, v'amru shira, and they sang. Shenamar v'heichalo kula omer kavo, niskapsu kula meitzal Bilam arasha. So where did all of the nations go? All the kings ran to their Navi, to Bilam. V'amru lo, ma kol ha'amon asher shemanu. They said, Bilam, what's going on? Something big is happening in the world. Tell us what's happening. Shema mabul bala olam, is there a flood in the world? Amar lahem Hashem lamabul yashav. Amar lahem vayeshav Hashem melech leolam. Kfar nishba kadosh baruch hu she'enim it may be mabul olam. He said, no. Hashem said, no more mabuls. Amar lo mabul shal mayim eno vevi, aval mabul shal esh vevi, maybe he'll bring a mabul shal esh. Shenem ar kiveish Hashem nishba, amar lahem, kfar nishba she'enim mashkas kol basar. No, he already promised he's not destroying people anymore. Bilam, what's going on? What's happening? Something big is happening here, Bilam. Tell us, please. Amar lahem, chemda tova yeshlo beveis knazav, shahaisa gnuza etzlo, tuf tuf kufa and aladoros. Oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he had this treasure. Shenivra, olam ubikesh lina labanav, and he's giving the Torah to the Jews. Just go home, it's not for you. The people of the world, they were running to Bilam for inspiration. And they said, Bilam, something big is happening here. Teach us. Tell us what to do with this inspiration. And Bilam says, it's not for you. Don't worry about it. Just go home. Nothing big is happening for you. Just go home. Bilam has the ability to see something so clear. And there are other people who saw it too. And he says, nah, just go home. It's not for you. The Gemara in Gittin on Daf and Zion describes Bilam's punishment. Very interesting. Unculus bar Clonicus. We know the great Unculus was a ger. Bar Achte de Titus Haya. He was related to Titus. And he's trying to figure out what to do with his life. And he's calling back people from the dead. He calls up Titus. Let's go to the second page in the bold. After he calls up Titus, Ozol Aske le Bilam Benegida. He calls up Bilam as well. He calls back Bilam from the dead. He tries to talk to him. Amar le man chashiv bahu alma, says, hey Bilam, who's important in that world? Amar le Yisrael, Bilam says, the Jews. The Jews are important in this world. Mahu le buke bahu. So he says, Bilam, should I become one? Should I join them? Now you think that Bilam, as he's in Gehenna, Gemara describes that he was sitting there burning in a boiling pot. So he says, Nu, do you think, Bilam, it's worth joining the Jews? Armale, lo tidrash shlomo tovasim kol yamim. Nah, it's not worth it. I mean, it couldn't get clearer. You're sitting in Gehenna. Things are very, very clear that you made some mistakes in your life. And he asks Bilam, while he's sitting there boiling, and he says, Bilam, do you think I should make a change in my life? And Bilam says, no, I don't think so. It's not worth it. Bilam has this remarkable ability to see the obvious, see what's so clear, and Bilam has the ability to ignore it. Look at the source in number 10. Kol mi sheyesh biyado shlosha dvarim halalu, mitalmidov shel Avram Avinu. The Mishnah on Avo says that if you have three midos, three character traits, so then you are a Talmud of Avram Avinu. You're a student of Avraham. And then it describes three midos that if you have them, you're a Talmud, you're a student of Bilam. I once heard from Rav Moshe Shapiro. Rav Moshe Shapiro, for those of you who don't know, I think we just passed his first yard site. Rav Moshe Shapiro was a tremendous gadol in Eretz Yisrael who inspired thousands. His brilliance, the depth of his understanding of Torah is a great loss for Klal Yisrael, for those who knew of his greatness. So I heard from Moshe Shapiro, only he could ask such a question. He said, I don't understand this Mishnah. I understand, to be like Avram Avinu, so you need a Rebbe. You could be a Talmud of Avram Avinu. What does it mean to be a Talmud of Bilam HaRasha? A student of Bilam? To be evil, you need to go to yeshiva? Which yeshiva do you go to become evil? Why do you need to learn how to be evil? What do you need to do? What do you need to go sit and learn about how to become evil? People just become evil. That's what they do. But the Mishnah says that you're a Talmud of Avram. You have these three things. You're a student of Bilam. You're a Talmud of Bilam. So you have these three things. Rav Moshe Shapiro also asked, maybe we'll have time to discuss, but when did Bilam and Avraham become opposites? I would have assumed that Bilam's opposite or his nemesis is Moshe Rabbeinu. But you see that the Mishnah is saying, no, Avram Avinu versus Bilam. They didn't meet. They weren't in the same time period. What's the connection between the two? At least the first question, Moshe Shapiro said, you're right, for regular evil, you don't need to go to yeshiva. You don't need to learn regular evil. But to be evil like Bilam, to be a Bilam who could see a Kabbalah Satorah and say, eh, we don't really need that. To be sitting in Gehenna and ignore it, that kind of evil, you need a Rebbe. You need to learn that type of evil. That type of evil is not something that you develop on your own. This was the evil of Bilam. And that's why I'm so interested, because I saw this medrash where Bilam gives the advice to Paro. Paro and Bilam seem to have the same exact character, where they see this, they see things so clearly, and they have the ability to ignore it. So how much did Bilam really influence Paro? Like I said, I believe that Bilam was Paro's Rebbe in this character trait. Bilam taught Paro how to be evil like this. So we know that Bilam was there at that meeting, that fateful meeting. Bilam suggested, throw all the boys into the Nile, kill the Jews. Number 11, where else was Bilam? How else did he affect Paro? The Medrash says, it's a famous Medrash, but now as you start to think about it, it jumps out at you. Vayhi bashana hashlishis ledas Moshe. Moshe was 3 years old. Paro Yoshev al kiso. Paro was sitting on his throne. Vagvira Yoshevis mimino. Batya Yoshevis mismolo. There was Batya, his daughter. Vahanar Yoshev v'cheka. And there was Moshe, little Moshe Rabbeinu, sitting there. V'chol sari hamlucha Yoshev etzlo. And all the officers of the king were sitting there at this big meal that he was having. And little baby Moshe Rabbeinu takes the crown of the king. He puts the crown on his head. Everybody pauses. There's like a gasp in the room as the little Moshe takes the crown of the king and puts it on his head. Who responds at that meeting? Vaya'an Bilam HaKosim. Bilam pipes up at the meeting. There's another medrash that doesn't say the name of the person who pipes up, but over here it says that it was Bilam. Bilam pipes up. Echad Mitzrisi HaMelech Vayomer Zecharna Adoni HaMelech Es HaCholom Asher Chalamta. Don't you remember that dream, Paro? The dream about the person who's going to lead to your demise. And therefore, Bilam recommends, I'm going to where the dot, dot, dot. Vim al melech tov nishbechaz damo arza, v'terem yigdal v'ikas hamlucham yadecha. Bilam, kill this young boy right now. Kill him now, says Bilam, because he's going to take it from you. And we know the story, how it unfolds. There's a suggestion, no, we have to do a test to prove that Moshe is really not as smart as you think he is. And they bring the coals and the gold, and the Malach comes and switches his hand, and Moshe puts the thing on his tongue, and Moshe is saved. But I'm so interested that it was Bilam who gives the advice to Paro, once again, to ignore this whole Moshe thing and not to be worried. The source of number 12 says, Lochein lechuna ha'gvarim ve'ivdu as Hashem ki osa atem mevakshim v'yigarish osam me'es pnei Paro. Says by one of the later Makos, I'm sorry, I don't remember which Makah this is. They chase Paro, maybe it's the ninth Makah. They chase Moshe and Aaron out of Paro's house. Vayigarish Osam Me'es Pnei Paro. Now, who is Vayigarish Osam? They chased Vayigarish Osam, they chased them, Me'es Pnei Paro, from the face of Paro. So it's obvious, it's not Paro chasing. Right? It doesn't say Vayigarish Paro Osam, because it says Vayigarish Osam, someone me'es pnei Paro. Who is the one who chases them out? The Medrash, I couldn't find it on the Bar Ilan. The Medrash is, if you look in the Torah Shlema, the Medrash is there. The Pasuk in Balak says, Va'ata lechana ara liyas amazek ki atzam hu mimeni ulai uchal nakebo ve'agarshenu. Balak sends to Bilam and he says, I'd like to agarshenu, I'd like to chase the Jews out of the land. I'd like to get rid of them. The Medrash says, Vayigarish Osam, Agarshenu. Who was the one who chased Moshe out of the palace and said, get out of here? Says the Medrash, it was Bilam. Imagine the scene. Dam, Sfardeya, Kinim, Arov, Dever, Shchin, Barad. Paro is about to break. Paro has had enough of this, and he thinks, this is crazy. I can't keep ignoring this. And I have this thing in my heart, which is making my heart get hard. And Paro is about to say, yeah, fine, let them go. Let them go to the desert. Vayigarish osam espe Paro. Bilam says, get out of here. Paro, don't listen to them. Paro, you have to ignore them because this is what we do. This is what Bilam teaches Paro, and he tells him, we don't listen. When things are obvious and they're clear and miracles are in front of us, Paro, this is what we do, my Talmud. Run the other way. Vayigarish osam. Paro is not able to listen because Bilam chases them out. Vayigarish osam is referring to Bilam, says the Medrash. Number 13. Those who feared Hashem, so they brought their cattle inside. If you left your cattle outside, it was going to get smashed by the bara. The bara was going to kill your cattle. And the person who didn't pay any attention to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, think about it. Again, Dam, Tzvardeya, Kinim, Arov, Dever, Shchin. All these things that happened exactly they were supposed to happen. So now here, you got a little bit of a break. There's going to be Barad outside. Bring your cattle inside. If you bring your cattle inside, your cattle will be fine. If you leave your cattle outside, everything you have left is going to be destroyed. Who doesn't listen? Who wouldn't take that advice after so many makos had already happened? How do you not listen to that and just save everything you have and bring the cattle inside? Vasher lo sam libo. He who did not pay attention. El dvar Hashem bayazovis avadaves mikneu basada. The Targum Yonason says, who was that? Hayare es dvar Hashem says, the Targum, that was Eov. The Havadachum mifiskamad Hashem. Eov feared Hashem. He was the Yare es dvar Hashem. Vasher lo sam libo, says the Targum Yonason. Who was that? Who told all of the Mitzrayim, bring your cattle, leave them outside, no problem. We ignore miracles, that's what we do. It was once again Bilam. Bilam doesn't listen to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Bilam teaches everybody to ignore. That's why Bilam is Paro's Rebbe. He's the one who teaches to ignore miracle after miracle. The Baal HaTurim in number 14 points out, Odcham is tolol ba'ami levilti shalcham. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Paro, Odcham is tolol ba'ami, you're still messing around with my nation, levilti shalcham. When are you going to send them out already? Paro, stop playing games. Notes the Baal HaTurim, Odcha, the ayin, mistolol, the mem, ba'ami, the bays, levilti, the lamid, if you just jumble the letters, says the Baal HaTurim, Rashi Tevos Bilam. Those are the Rashi Tevos of Bilam. Sha'al yado incha mishalcham. Says the Baal HaTurim, who is the reason that Paro all along is refusing time and time again to send the Jews out of Mitzrayim? It's Bilam. And he says, Degil mil hayu ba'osa etza. Goes back to that first meeting with Bilam. There are the three people there who gave his advice. But it was Bilam, time and time again, teaching Paro to be the evildoer, the ignorer of miracles, that he was. That's the evil of Paro. He has the ability to see what's obvious and ignore it. I know Marcus likes Rav Shlomo Zalman stories. I'll tell you a story from Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Shlomo Zalman Orbach, as a young boy, was walking with his father in the neighborhood of Shaarei Chesed, where he grew up. They were walking on Shabbos to a simcha. They were walking on their way to Mei Shearim. And as they were walking, they saw this man standing on his porch in his pajamas, and he was smoking on Shabbos. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman's father quickly, wanted to turn Rosh Shlomo Zalman, the young boy's attention away from the person who was being mechalel Shabbos. He didn't want him to see. So he says, yeah, don't look. And he didn't want his little son to see someone doing that. And the man noticed, and he calls out to them, and he says, "How dare you say that about me? I had a conversation with the Ribbono Shel Olam. You don't know who you're dealing with. I spoke to Hashem." So Shlomo Zalman and his father were startled. "He had a conversation with Hashem? What do you mean? Tell us your story." So this man who was standing there said, "I grew up in Russia, and I was orphaned at a very young age, and I was never taught anything about Yiddishkeit, and I was drafted into the Russian army, and there we were in the middle of a war, and all of my troops were killed. Everybody surrounded me. It was just me left alone in a foxhole. And my whole platoon had been killed. They're all lying around me." And he said, "At that moment, I called out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu." He said, "HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't know you. I never wasn't raised. I didn't have a Torah education. I didn't have parents. I don't know if you exist. But I want to know if you're there and you're listening to me. So I'll make a deal with you. I'm going to stick up my finger out of the foxhole. If a bullet comes by and blows off my finger, then I'll know that you exist. And I promise that I'll keep your Torah. But if that doesn't happen, Ribbono Shel Olam, then I know you don't even exist." So he sticks his hand out of the foxhole. Kachava. A bullet blows off his finger. So the man turns to the Orbachs and says, "I had a conversation with Ribbono Shel Olam. I spoke to him, and he answered me. Don't you dare say anything about me. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman remembered this story for his whole life, because he wanted to know, how did someone who had a conversation with the Ribbono Shel Olam leave the army and not fulfill his part of the bargain? How did he continue to ignore the Ribbono Shel Olam? That's the koach of Bilam. That's the koach of Paro. It's the ability to see things that are so clear, to see miracles, and to ignore them, to do nothing with them. Sfas Emes writes that Yehudim are called Yehudim because we're modim laHakadosh Baruch Hu al kol davar v'davar. We recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu no matter what. Whereas Paro and Bilam have the ability to see miracles and ignore them, Klal Yisrael looks for miracles. Klal Yisrael looks for miracles even when they're not so obvious. If you look at the Ramban in Parshas Bo, the famous Ramban, Umin Anisim, it's in the last Maramakom, number 15, Min Anisim Agadolim Amifursamim Adam Mode Benisim Anistarim Shehem Yisod HaTorah Kula. It's from the great miracles, the obvious miracles, that a person recognizes even the small miracles. She'el adam chelik b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu ad shenamin b'chol dvareinu mikreinu shekulam nisim. We have to recognize that everything in this world is a miracle. Ein b'hem teva minhago shel olam. There's really no nature. Because Klal Yisrael knows that it's not just the big miracles. The big miracles tell us that everything in this world is a miracle. Whereas Paro sees miracles and ignores them, Klal Yisrael doesn't just see miracles and take action. Klal Yisrael looks for miracles when they're not so obvious. That's also the answer to Bilam versus Avraham. So who was Avraham Avinu? How did Avraham Avinu become Avraham Avinu? Avraham Avinu was a person who looked. Avraham Avinu looked. Avraham Avinu saw a building, and he saw that the building was lit, and he said, if the building is lit, so it must be that somebody lit it. And if this world has a world and there's a sun, it must be that somebody put it there. Avraham Avinu was a person who looked. Bilam was a person who saw and ignored. Avraham Avinu, when it wasn't so clear, Avraham Avinu looked for it. This is how Paro became Paro. I didn't come here to tell you how to become a Paro, but I think the message for us is very obvious. We all have moments in our life when we see things, and things happen, and things become clear to us. So what do we do with those moments of clarity? Do we say, you know what? Wow, why did that happen? What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu trying to tell me? What can I do with that? I have a moment of inspiration. What do I do with that moment of inspiration? Do I grab it and be an Avram Avinu? Or do I become a Bilam and Chas V'Shalom look the other way? Do I become a Paro and ignore it with Mesiris Nefesh? That's the message I think that we should think about from these Parshios, so that Amir Hashem, we should continue to be Yehudim, who are modim laKadosh Baruch Hu al kol davar v'davar. We recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu wherever we go. We don't just recognize it when it's obvious, but we look for it even when it's not obvious. And Mirtz Hashem, we should all be talmidim of Avram Avinu.